You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries has thousands upon thousands of retail locations all over the United States, and they offer great batteries, right? Now, I got a buddy who is kind of a car nut, a truck nut, and he told me that, I guess on the research that he's done for car batteries, Interstate Battery car batteries and truck batteries are some of the highest quality, most reliable truck batteries that they have on the market. I don't know anything about it. It's just what my buddy told me. So if you're looking for a new car or truck battery, you need to go to your local retail, Interstate Battery retail shop, and go pick one up, because I guess they're badass. So I know I have one in my truck. Other than that, if you have TV remote controls, Interstate Batteries makes a battery for that. They make batteries for your rangefinder, your trail cameras, and basically any other electrical device, for the most part, that you use while hunting or fishing or being outside. They also have a whole bunch of other little knick-knack products too, like my buddy Dan Spano. He is a manager for his family's Interstate Battery retail location. He got me some of these cool flashlights that have switches on them. One of them looks like a lantern. So they have a whole bunch of that stuff too. If you want to find out more information about the kind of batteries that Interstate Batteries makes, head on over to interstatebatteries.com or visit your local retail store.
This is a Houndsman XP podcast with your host, Steve Fielder, and me, Chris Powell. If you're ready to up your game to extreme performance, sit back, buckle up, and hang on for another exciting episode of Houndsman XP. In this episode of the Houndsman XP podcast, we are taking you inside W Hunting Supply, our longtime title sponsors. We continue to have a great relationship with them, and we're going to feature W Hunting Supply today, but specifically we're going to talk about tech support for Garmin. We're going to talk about Onyx Hunt. We're going to talk about Hunt View and Bird's Eye. We're going to troubleshoot some common ailments you may be having with your system, and discuss some pretty easy fixes for you. So we've got Jason Doobie on the line with us today. Jason and I talk quite a bit throughout the week, and so we've got a good working relationship there, so it's a pretty comfortable conversation. Before we get there, I want to give a shout out to a few people that continue to carry the torch for Houndsman XP. The first is Bear Hunting Magazine. Clay Newcomb has been a great assistance to us throughout the course of this podcast. When we started, he gave us technical support, but I want to talk to you about Bear Hunting Magazine. It is a bi-monthly publication that puts out a high-quality magazine that talks about all things bear hunting, whether it's spot and stalk, bait hunting, or particularly hounds in our case. Then Bear Hunting Magazine is carrying the torch there for bear hunters worldwide. Steve Fielder writes an article, Legendary Bear Hounds, high quality article. Jonathan Lesperance writes an article in the magazine about all things hound related. And so check them out. Check out their podcast too, Bear Hunting Magazine Podcast. High quality podcast. There's a lot going on over there. I also want to give a shout out to Cleve and Becky Dwyer, who continue to support us on social media and throughout several different platforms there. But check out Bull Creek Lion Hunts on social media. Cleve and Becky are high quality people that you will feel comfortable with booking a hunt. So check them out. And as always, we appreciate you, the listener. Make sure you're hitting the subscribe button in the podcast, and also give us a rating. We've got over 200 ratings now. We're waiting to see if your name appears next. So give us a rating, and even if it's a line or two in the comments, great podcast, whatever. That's what drives podcasting and keeps us at the top of the game. So we appreciate you very much, and enjoy this podcast. Welcome to the Houndsman XP podcast, and this week we have the Homeless W employee, Jason Doobie, on the line. Jason, you are homeless right now, right?
Yes, at the moment. It's I'm residing in my camp trailer for a little while they're getting our new home ready.
So you can't even work from home now, can you?
No, I got to put on like real clothes and commute to town and actually get into an office. Usually it's, get stuff ready in the morning and just cruise on over to my desk. But lately, yeah, it's been a little bit of a commute in the morning.
How long does it take you to get there?
Oh, it's not bad. Probably 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Give me a break.
Just kind of on the outskirts.
10 minutes. 10 minutes. And so they have dress code, so you can't wear the pajama pants like normal, right?
Correct. I mean, okay. Luckily it's I'm using a room in my wife's office. She had a spare room here, and her mother was kind enough to let me reside in it for a while for work. So they still wear slippers sometimes. I can get away with something like that, but yeah, no PJs.
Well, awesome. Awesome. So, did you kill an elk this year? I know you were elk hunting a little bit.
I didn't. I did not.
Man, this conversation.
No, you'll learn this about me. It's not going well so far, right?
Yeah. So
it's
tell us some.
It's not a real successful thing around here this year. It's been a lot of missed opportunities, it seems like, but a lot of good times.
A lot of tag soup being eaten in Oregon.
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just saw a post on Instagram from Larry and Jamie Anderson. Jamie she shot a stud mule deer buck on a pretty tough draw to tag there in Montana. If you get a chance to check that out, that really was.
Oh, heck yeah.
It was a beautiful, typical 4x4. It was a nice, nice mule deer. So a lot of hunting pictures coming in right now.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I mean, they're definitely starting to rut up around here. I need to take lessons from my old man. He's already killed, I think, his buck and his doe, and he got his elk this year, and here I am on tag soup.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, we're going to talk about W. We're just going to kind of have a hodgepodge of topics we're going to talk about today. We're going to include some Garmin troubleshooting and some things going on at W Hunting Supply, and just kind of have a conversation between two old buddies here. So
old buddy.
What's that?
Two buddies. Only one of us is old.
Oh. You're not that old.
No, not.
So that only leaves one.
Well, leaves one. Steve's not here today, so you're on your own.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I will share this little secret. I went to the VA yesterday and picked up my hearing aids. And I'm really not that old. I'm not that old. I'm only 50. But the thing of it is, you know, machine guns don't care whether your ears are 18 or they're 50. So the Marine Corps.
Right.
I left my hearing with the Marine Corps, Uncle Sam was gracious enough to retrofit me with some bionic ears there and some hearing aids. So it was really weird because I guess I haven't heard for so long. You know, my hearing's been bad so long. It kind of freaks you out. when you start hearing
everything.
Yeah,
now you're hearing
you.
Everything.
Yeah. I mean, the TV, the volume control can be set really low. And going to the bathroom the first time was kind of scary.
See, now you learn the trick I learned from my grandpa is, you know, you can just turn those things down when you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times a kid I'd look over and see him reach up and just turn them off, you know, when he was done listening.
These crazy things, I don't even have to reach up. I can do it all from my iPhone. They're synced up to my iPhone.
It's getting high tech.
Yeah. High tech redneck. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Like they tell you not to be shooting or running any equipment or anything like that with them in. So I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to hunt with my hearing aids in. I'm thinking I'm probably just going to carry a set of Walker game ears or something like that with me. So
right.
When I do have to shoot, I don't know how that's going to work. Because I don't want to give up. I'm telling you what, man, this is crazy. I mean, I'm standing in the yard yesterday, and like there's a creek running down in front of our house. And I'm standing out in the mm-hmm. yard, and I hear leaves rustling. And I'm looking, you know, I'm looking right under my feet because that's normally where I hear leaves rustling. And I look across the creek up on the hillside, and I'm looking. I finally see a squirrel that's probably, I don't know, 60 yards away. And that was what was making the noise. And I just haven't heard anything like that before in a long time anyway, where I could actually
hear. The whole new world, huh?
Yeah. I told somebody it's like when I was a kid, I needed to have glasses. I think I got glasses when I was about 12 years old. I always just thought trees were green blobs. And then I put my glasses on and you could actually see individual leaves in the trees and things like that. And that's kind of what this whole hearing aid thing has been done to me as well. Cause I turned the dishwasher on last night and I was like, dang, that thing's loud. So anyway,
well, have you had the dogs out with them yet?
No, I haven't. I'm going to take them out tonight and see how that goes. I'm really anxious for that because I think that's the main reason why I got them was because
right.
being able to hear hounds and things like that. The only problem is my wife knows I can hear now.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see the problem there.
Yeah. Buddy asked me if it had a wife mode if they came with a wife mode.
Yeah, that's the part where my grandpa used to just turn his off.
Yep. Well, hey, let's talk about some, since we're talking about high tech stuff, let's talk about this W app because I think this is probably one of the most underused. What kind of response are you guys getting to your app?
I mean, we've had a lot of downloads.
Have you? Good.
It's still new. You know, that's the thing is we've had an app in the past, and basically we had to switch carriers or I guess you would call them, you know, hosters or I'm mm-hmm. not up on all that techie stuff, but you know, we were finding ourselves unintentionally falling short. You know, the host that we were through, man, there were a lot of mornings when Jeff was just, you know, hammering away orders because they weren't processing over into our main system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they never made the shift over, then all of a sudden, you know, we basically miss an order. And it wasn't something that was, you know, it's not like they just didn't go out. But, you know, obviously anybody who's used us know that we pride ourselves on our fast shipping.
Right.
And
you guys don't let any orders sit on the desk overnight, do you?
We do our best not to. Mm-hmm. I mean, here coming up with the Black Friday sale, I'm sure that that's going to be a real feat, you know. I know Mike and Jess, they usually come in on that weekend, you know, to start packaging orders. But we really try to get everything out the same day.
Right.
So it just hit a point where we didn't want our reputation to slip over something that was out of our hands. So we went ahead and Bill put a ton of work into this new app. I helped write some content for it and things like that, but he was really the mastermind behind it. And it's just been a lot smoother transition. You know, we're not having these orders that are, you know, sitting there for 3-4 hours before we notice they didn't transfer through, or the next morning. And really, I mean, the drive was just to create a better customer service experience.
Mm-hmm.
When stuff goes bad or people need things, I'm sure you can attest to it. I mean, we're kind of impatient when it comes to our hunting. We want it now. So we just didn't want to leave an opportunity for that to slip. So we brought it to a new and updated app. We've got some content that is just proprietary to the app. You know, you can't get it through the website. And it's a good platform just for us to outreach to the customers, let them reach out to us. They can still do their shopping. They can log into their accounts, check their points values and points so that they can use those for discounts. It just tried to make it a better experience. And it's something new, so it's
I want to go all the way through it. I want to start at ground zero and you know, talk about this app a little bit, because there's a lot of content on there. But before we do that, you talked about shipping. I've got a question real quick. So, say I'm out recently, I went to Springerville, Arizona, and bear hunted out there, and W sent me a couple collars, and you know, I shipped them right to Springerville. I had to have an address though. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Do you know if I gave you a post office address, can they accept packages like that? And I could go into a post office and pick those up. If I'm hunting remote, I don't have any idea of a local address or anything in the area. I don't have access to that. Do you know?
I would assume so. I mean, I know Cody, Wyoming's received some packages from us for general pickup. You know, people without address. I won't get into the specifics, but right. We've done it before for a general
homeless
pickup.
People like you.
No, not me.
No, I said
other people.
Were they homeless people like you?
Oh yeah, except they have a lot more fun in the mountains.
Well, I was just curious.
I would check with the post office. You know, if somebody's looking at having that done, I would definitely check prior to shipping. But I mean, shoot, even when we came out to be with you guys at Autumn Oaks, you know, you were the one lifting those heavy boxes. We can ship about anywhere. You know, the shipping centers, we do a lot of shipping to them for people that are on the road. You know, we try to keep a good address on file as a default shipping address, but
yeah. We
can change every order.
Like, you know,
I know when we shipped your stuff out, or I know you guys are getting ready to head out on a big lion hunt here this winter too. And it just takes a matter of seconds for us to change the shipping address and get it on its way.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm planning for right there is if something goes south and I have a collar or two collars go down or whatever and need something on the road. And I know there's other people out there that are doing the same thing, but yeah, we shipped the stuff for Autumn Oaks right to the UPS store. And then we just went by the UPS store and picked it up. That's a good point.
Yeah, it worked slick.
Yeah, it did. It worked real good. But let's get back to this app. So I've got a smartphone, and I think anybody that's listened to a podcast probably already knows this, but you just go into the app store and type in W Hunting Supply and download the app. It's as easy as that, right?
Yeah, actually, the best way to search it is W app, because the other, like I said, we had an app prior to this.
Okay.
So if you type in W app, you should see it pull up. It'll be a white background with our classic two running dogs logo with our name in bright orange. But that's going to be the easiest way to search it in your Android or App Store.
Okay, I got you.
Because it's Google Play.
Okay, so now I've got it downloaded, which I've had it for a while, but I've got it downloaded. Let's walk through this app a little bit and talk about some of the features on it. We'll just start at the top here. We've got three bars up in the upper left-hand corner, and it just kind of lays out. There's a lot of stuff in there, but at the top of the menu bar there is a thing called DU University. Talk about mm-hmm. that. Tell me what that is.
So DU University is, it's basically a set of small, short quizzes. I'm actually trying to get mine to load up right now. But what we try to do is make it a little bit fun. You know, there's some quizzes on there about how well do you know the W team. I know when we were writing it, Buddy got a hold of us and says, I don't know who wrote that, but that was that's pretty cool. And I had to ask him, well, did you get 100%? Because it's all about our team, you know. It was and our company and policies. And he says, well, I did pretty good. So that was comforting. But yeah, it's really a platform for us to expand on. So the hopes are, as time allows, and I can dig into it a little deeper with Bill, is we can start writing some content and do actual true courses. You know, there's we mm-hmm. do have a product maintenance quiz, which is a good overview of basic maintenance of your equipment and how to prolong the life of it, you know, over the course of its life. Because God knows we beat those collars, you know, things get kicked around, dogs put in places we'd never think of. So anything that we can do to help customers prolong the life of those and get good service, you know, that's a good one to check out. Mm-hmm. And also product mm-hmm. knowledge. And that was just, you know, I think that in our sport, there's such a push, you know, as from a lot of companies, and I'm not going to single any out, but in general, as an outdoor industry, even beyond the hound stuff, it seems like there's this push for product. But really, when you get down to it, if there's no product knowledge, people are just buying off of hype. Where, you know, the products that we're using on these dogs, we have to trust them 100%. And not to say that manufacturers don't have their issues or things like that, but anything that we can do to educate a customer, especially prior to purchase, is a big win in my eyes. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, I mean, there's a lot of guys that call and I talk to, and they're surprised when I'll talk them out of something that's going to cost them more money. And it's really just based on the fact that I want them to get what they need. And sometimes all you have to do is lay it out there on the line and educate them about it. Mm-hmm. And they realize, well, I really need this, or, hey, I really don't need this, which is equally important. And I think that that's going to be a good thing for us to expand on in the future, you know, is just keeping people educated so that they can make a well-informed decision before they go dump, you know, hard-earned money. This sport's not cheap.
Yeah, right. You know, one of the things that I think we all want to have the newest, best equipment that we can have for hunting, but and I'll get there someday, but sometimes technology isn't always the easiest thing for some of our older participants to grasp. Some of them are way ahead mm-hmm. of me, but I've been in the woods before with people that they had an Alpha in their hand, and before you know it, they've got the thing, you know, with the touch screen, they've got everything all messed up to the point that you've pretty much got to completely wipe it and reset it up for them. So sometimes the older units are better. You know, there's a lot of value in a lot of the things that there may be something better out there that's more traditional and maybe more in somebody's lane. It's not just restricted to older people. It's, you know, sometimes it's older people like me, 50 years old. You know, I can't figure out how to customize my new emoji on my iPhone. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's the truth. I mean, it's one of those things where I'll get a lot of guys and gals calling that are, you know, hey, my buddies are telling me I need to upgrade. Well, that may be true. You know, I mean, with technology changing and things being discontinued over the years, yeah, I mean, there's a point in time where you kind of do need to upgrade or at least calculate, the risk involved in not doing it.
That's it right there.
I mean, I'll use a 320 for an example. You know, the Astro 320 is probably one of the most well-used pieces of equipment in our sport. You know, they were around for a lot of years. They're still kicking. Yeah, they've been discontinued at this point, but they were a solid system and people are comfortable with them.
Mm-hmm.
And in my eyes, I mean, if you're going to spend the money to upgrade, you got to look at it two ways. You can either trade your equipment or sell it now and get what you can out of it. Or you calculate out how much hunting you're doing and run it till it's in the dirt. And it's a tough one to do because, especially when I'm dealing with people directly, I hate seeing people spend money twice.
Right.
You know, somebody buys a used collar, yeah, we guarantee them and they're good equipment. But the thing is are you going to keep milking along a DC-40 for several years, you know, and then down the road, basically it's a paperweight because technology's
right.
just surpassed it at this point.
Yeah.
Not to say they're not a good collar, but you just got to kind of figure it out. And
sure.
That's something I take pretty personal, is just trying to figure out, you know, what these guys need as far as, you know, in their specific hunting situation. And if something's going to work for them, it works for them. The last thing you want to be is frustrated out there. So why do I want to put an alpha in your hands if you're not going to learn how to use it or be comfortable using it?
Well, it's
that
like
just
the,
means it's not
it's,
right.
It's like this. I had a 1998 Toyota truck, Tacoma. I could do a lot of that maintenance on that truck myself. It had mm-hmm. little slider arms to control heat. It had, you know, a little knob you turn for to turn the fan up. Just all kinds of simple features. And I've also got a 2017 Chevy. Now, the Chevy is a very nice truck. There's a lot of options on it and things like that. But I long for the simplicity of the 98 Toyota. You know, it's mm-hmm. just, you don't have to feel like you need to baby it. It's simple. You know, I changed some fuel lines and a lot of different things under the hood on that 98 Toyota, and I might as well be looking at the freaking space shuttle when I open the hood
on
that Chevy, you know. So that's how I look at it. There's some value to it. We just interviewed Brett Vaughn. And he's riding a mule through the mountains, you know, and there's several hunters out there that still do. And there's something very, nice about hanging on to that simplicity of,
right,
you know, not getting overcomplicated in this thing, but at the same time, realizing that these hounds are valuable and it's very important for us to use. Some of us feel better using the best thing on the market for them. And I think all of us really want to. So under this W deal here, I mean, I'm seeing learn about the team, product knowledge, and then product maintenance as I'm looking through the app here. So there's three things right there that people could start digging into. And then we're not going to make this whole thing about this app. We want to get into some Garmin stuff. But this is one feature that I wanted to bring up, and is you drop down right under the DU University, and I'm operating off the app, and it's on the three bars in the upper left-hand corner. It says Featured Media, and if you hit that down arrow, then there's a Houndsman XP podcast title there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there is. And it looks like we're having some technical difficulties there. I was wondering if it was just mine not loading.
Yeah, I think it's a
so
blank.
That is something we'll have to look into.
We'll have to call. We ought to get Bill on the phone.
Get Bill on the phone. He's probably sleeping right now. But, the point of that, the intention of that is so you got all your listeners and, you know, people who are new to it have a direct link over to download your guys' podcasts and other media out there that's supportive of our sport.
Yeah.
You know, because as a community, it's our job. I mean, really, if we're going to keep this thing going, it comes down to education. I mean, it's the same as product. you know, our sport requires education of the general public, you know, to have a true view of what we do. And, you know, podcasts, I mean, like this, you know, Houndsman XP, I think, has done a great job of portraying our sport in a positive light. And it kind of gives some ammunition to those houndsmen and women out there that are confronted with those difficult questions. And, you know, being from the West Side, I guess we probably look at things a little different out here. But, you know, that is something that we all kind of have to deal with at some point. You know, whether it's somebody at the gas station filling up or at the river, it seems like there's always an opportunity for a conversation with somebody.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the grand scheme of things, if you get back in the East here, I mean, we have our own challenges as far as people who are wanting to take away hunting opportunities. Either socially not acceptable or people are just uneducated because we're not controlling the narrative on what mm-hmm. hunting really is. But by and large, I mean, it is going to be tough to eliminate the sport of raccoon hunting. You know, they're destructive little animals. There's a ton of research out there, and I love them. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I swerve mm-hmm. on the road not to hit them. And but the fact remains that agriculture is against them. There's a ton of research showing the damage they do on ground nesting birds and waterfowl resting areas and things like that. So it's going to be a tough sell. Even if somebody's just a bird watcher, they understand the value of keeping the raccoon population under control.
Right.
When you start talking about our bigger predators, then people get goofy about that. And
right.
They
romantic word for it.
Yeah. They romanticize them. They think that they just don't understand. And we've allowed the other people, our opposition, to control the narrative on this. And that's what we're trying to do at Houndsman XP, is control the narrative. Now, I know it's not the most exciting podcast to listen to when we start talking about conservation issues, but conservation issues are so important because when your sport comes under attack in your state, simply showing up at a resource commission meeting and screaming and yelling and saying, "It's my heritage," that doesn't cut it. You've got to have the wherewithal and the knowledge to be able to talk intelligently about this. And that's simply all we're trying to do with the conservation sections. When we talk about the North American Model for Wildlife Conservation, houndsmen need to know that stuff. Elk hunters know it. Deer hunters know it. People that are in the Wild Sheep Foundation understand what that is, and it's time for houndsmen to educate themselves and know what that is so that they can talk intelligently to save their own sport, to preserve our sport and protect it.
Well, and I think a big part of that, and this is just me speaking, but when it comes to the people that are really going to count, I mean, you are not going to sway a set group of people. They're going to think what we do is...
I call them the animal radicals.
Not desired. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's a group that just literally you're never going to break into. The thing we've got to focus on, I think, is a sport, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, but the ignorant ones, because there's a huge difference between ignorance and stupidity. Stupidity is being shown facts time after time after time and continuing to go the other direction. You know, these people just do not have a knowledge of what we do, or at least a correct, output of what we do.
They base all their opinions on emotion. They have no, mm-hmm. they'd have no scientific data to back up. As a matter of fact, there's tons of scientific data out there. Cultural data, all kinds of things, economical data, all kinds of things that show the value of hunting and everything like that. And then they base it on emotion. That's basically
how cute it is.
Yeah, that's what it all boils down to. And unfortunately,
so, you know,
we are emotional.
Well, and that's the hope, is that as we progress, we can expand on these things and, having a link to your guys' podcast, and it will hopefully have some articles and things like that. The app is really kind of a blank canvas at this point. We started, we kept, putting some things in, but really it's a thing that can morph.
Yep. Yep.
And, the hope is that it's just a fast link for education, places to support our sport. And I don't know if I want to say a call to Houndsman, but the goal is we just want to have everything in one place if we can. The app is more of a hub.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to it here, because there's a few more things. We kind of went down a rabbit path there and started
that
preaching.
Happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We do that often when we talk, especially when I'm involved in the conversation. So, back on the main screen of the app, I'm curious about this request service button. There's a hammer and a wrench there, and it's a request service. What's that for, Jason?
Yeah, that's the magic button, man. That's for when your stuff goes south, how to get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who've never used our service, the big thing for us is when stuff breaks, it never breaks, usually when you want it to, of course. It's always
right.
When you need your gear. It's right in season. So we really try to get your equipment replaced as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now with refurbished, with collar exchanges and things like that, let's say you've got a collar go down, I can usually get one back to you within 3 days. We've got a great team in the shop that's really good about getting orders out and getting replacements. And, our hope is that when your caller shows up to us, we've already got another one showing up at your doorstep and you're hitting the woods.
Right.
So that's going to be a link.
What I'm seeing here.
So that you can request those.
Yeah. What I'm seeing here, Jason, okay, I'm out hunting. I've got a collar issue. I'm sitting here. I've already spent 20 minutes trying to figure it out on my own. I've got good enough coverage here that, I can always pick up the phone and call W, but I might not be able to get the answers I need right then. So I open up the app, hit request service, and I fill out the form.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody from your team will contact me back, and I can keep hunting.
Correct.
If I can, so I can go on about my day. I'm not sitting there on hold. And I've never been on hold a long time with W anyway, but I'm just saying, I can go on about my deal, and then you can contact me. I can tell you what it is. I can stop what I'm doing. Bang, bang, bang. It just seems more efficient that way to me.
Well, that was the goal. I mean, we want to make it more efficient, because the last thing we want to do is spend our time messing with gear and more time hunting.
Right.
So, really, I mean, it's basic information. Name, email, phone number's optional. If it's a detailed situation, sometimes phone's the best way, so we can really get a grasp on what's going on in the situation. The key is being descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a lot of situations that, yeah, they're going to require a refurb or, a hardware fix, like a battery, battery go bad or something like that. But there are a lot of things that really do get corrected with either software updates or even something as simple as changing caller IDs. So the more descriptive somebody can be with that, the better grasp we can get on it as a team, and better assist them quicker. So being descriptive is key. And I'll give all your listeners a little inside tip too, because it's not specifically outlined in the app.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're describing what's going on and they want to include that serial number, that lets us take a look at that handheld or caller or whatever it may be and plug it into our database, and we can see the original purchase date. We can look up your order, what you ordered with it, and get an idea if that's something that's going to be covered under warranty potentially, or if it's going to be a customer pay. And it just kind of helps us get our ducks in a row so that we can assist you faster on the phone.
Yep. Nice. Nice. Well, that kind of segues right into what we're really wanting to talk about today, and that's some Garmin technical issues and maybe some troubleshooting stuff.
Sure.
Want to talk about, I think it's important. Jerry Moll, a longtime friend of mine, we've had him on the podcast. You know, when Alphas first came out, of course, smartphones were out too. And he made the comment, he said, you could spend the rest of your life trying to figure out everything your phone could do and everything your Alpha could do and never understand all of them, you know, both of them 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, but we're talking about the Alpha, and there's so many features in there. And I kind of feel like I've got a pretty solid grasp on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll be sitting there messing with it or doing something with it, and somebody else will say, well, have you tried to do this? Or have you, you know, there's a lot of options.
Oh,
with
yeah.
That piece of equipment.
We on a scale probably use about 10 to 20% of the capability. I mean, guys that are just out using it for tracking dogs, it's funny because that's what it's dedicated for, but we use so little of it, you know, as a whole, I think, there's a lot of stuff packed into a little package there.
Yeah, it's like buying a smartphone and only using it to make phone calls on.
To make phone calls, exactly.
Yeah, I ran yeah. my whole business off of a iPhone 7 for a year before I invested in an iPad. So let's talk about this Garmin.
You stepped up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So let's talk about this Alpha. What are some of the most common questions or requests for service that you guys get?
You know, as far as durability wise and request for service, they've been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say as far as, you know, phone calls with issues, I would say probably number one is people's maps disappearing. Because it seems to just one day, all of a sudden, you've got no maps and a plain white screen and your dog. So, I mean, it never loses your dogs, but you've got no map. You don't know where they are. And that seems to be one of the real common ones that we get.
Is that with the bird's eye, hunt view, or Onyx? Or are you talking about losing even on the contour map side of it?
Even your contour map that's factory preloaded. Sometimes will disappear. And what it comes down to is there's a function, and I don't know why they did this, giving us an option to not see our maps, but there is an option where you can actually turn your mapping off.
Really?
And depending, yeah, it's it used to be called the declutter. That's how I still refer to it. They have made some changes with software updates. Depending on the version of software installed, you'll basically want to go to your map screen, mm-hmm. or what would be your map screen, and hit your three horizontal lines, the menu button towards the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And in that menu list, you will either see a selection that says declutter maps, or it will say show maps, depending on the software version. They did change the wording. But 99% of the time, if you just click on that, your maps will come back. And it's something that it just happens. I usually recommend to people to make sure their archive tracks are clear, because that ties up memory space and
exactly.
can cause some issues. You know, the whole point is to keep everything running at maximum efficiency. When we start bogging it down with, I mean, I'm even going to say large bird's eye files or archive tracks, anything that's going to tie up memory space, you know, we're better to eliminate what we can. So that's probably one of the biggest questions we get, and it freaks people out, man. And I remember the first time it happened to me. All of a sudden, everything's just gone, and mm-hmm. you're like, what do we do now?
I'm hunting on the polar ice cap.
Yeah, right. We're hunting in a blizzard whiteout conditions.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you a question about archive. You know, Garmin needs a delete all button. Because when you go through there,
right?
When you go through there and delete your art, that takes, it takes a long time to go through and click each one. Are you sure? Delete. Are you sure you want to delete? Yes. Bang. Choose the next
one. Yeah. There are other options. I mean, you can access it through the Garmin file by plugging it into your computer. My word of caution there is there are some things in that file that you definitely do not want to mess up.
Right.
So sometimes the painstaking act of going through and deleting them one by one is a lot easier than wondering what happened when you unhook your Alpha or your Astro.
Okay, we'll just keep it on. We'll keep it on my level. Just
right,
grin and bear it.
Hey,
right?
It's my level too, man. I do it that way myself. I go through and one by one, I just go through and delete them too.
I'm just saying that'd be nice on my handheld.
It would be
because I don't care what a track was, you know, 6 months ago. I don't know. I guess I've never been on that epic track where I needed to go in there and look at it again.
Right. Yeah, I can't say I've ever used it for personal reference either. It's usually just a pain to delete out, but I'm sure there are guys out there that use it.
They may. If you've used your archive map, send us a direct message on Instagram or on Messenger. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to know how you're using that.
Exactly.
What's going on.
Exactly. So we've got the maps going blank. What else you got?
I mean, really, I'd say the majority of the calls is no GPS signal on the callers, you know, more so than any handheld issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the handhelds are very solid, you know, other than operator error, and I mean that just as nicely as I can.
Right.
Because there's things we can touch and make huge changes with no intention of it. The way menu items are stacked, things like that, you know, 90% of the issues I'd say that people call with handhelds is either just setup or user error,
mm-hmm,
instead of an actual issue. I mean, the big one is always GPS reception on callers. We get a lot of phone calls about callers not working or dropping communication.
So give us
the big thing.
Give us the fix.
Well, sometimes there's easy fixes and sometimes there's not. I mean, it's a pretty wide spectrum.
All right,
the number one thing to remember. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I call into W. I've got the rock star Jason Doobie on the other end. And I say, Jason, my GPS collar, I keep losing GPS signal with my dog. Step number one, what is it?
Step number one is, what is the flashing light doing? You know, you've got your indicator light, and that is going to be a telltale of a lot of different things.
Okay, well, if my dog's out there 600 yards in the dark and I'm getting a question mark on my screen, I'm not able to see what the light's doing. If I've got it back in my hand, you know, then it's pretty good. But mm-hmm, I'm talking flat woods. I'm not even talking about our hills and hollers here. I'm talking getting 500 yards out. If it was daylight, I could probably almost see them, and yet getting that question mark on my handheld.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a tough one, because really at that point we don't know if it's physical damage to the collar, if we've got a GPS transmitter issue,
mm-hmm,
or if it's something to do with settings. And every situation's different. I mean, let's say you got a dog turned loose and you've still got good communication and battery, you know, you can see that, but you're losing your GPS signal. It could be something as simple as that dog has maybe ducked under some cover and lost GPS reception, where when it came out and started moving again, depending on update rates, things like that, it just may have taken a while to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you may be in a situation where you get no GPS and it's just gone. And that's a tough one to figure out until you actually have the collar in your hand.
Okay, so now I've got the collar back in my hand. what sort of things should I be looking at on the collar to something Chris Powell can do looking at this collar right now, trying to figure this out? What should I be looking for?
The first thing I would recommend that you do is pull the collar strap off of it. Slide it out. You know, there's no screws. That's what I get asked a lot. You know, do we need to pull the screws out? And there's no need for that. You know, that collar strap should just push back through the GPS transmitter and out through the body. And the number one thing to inspect is where your GPS strap and your battery housing meet.
Okay.
You know, on these TT15s, T5s, anything with that external transmitter chip. So what happens is you've got a transmitter chip on one end that sits up on the dog's neck, and you've got that rubber piece that runs all the way down into the battery housing. And there is a coax wire or coax cable that runs through that plastic. It's actually molded into the rubber. And I would say that the number one thing that we see with them is they either are deteriorating at that junction where they actually go into the collar housing, or they've had some kind of blunt force. You know, either a dog gets hung up on a fence row.
So you got a broken,
gets in a scuff with a bear or whatever. Yeah, and what happens is it stresses that coax.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times you can see it. I mean, you can look in there and see it's physically broken. There's other times that, you know, it may just have pulled enough pressure to cause some damage internally that you're never going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the number one place to look. The other would be is any missing screws. I mean, really, you can assess a collar pretty well in the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a matter of a couple of minutes to really just get that collar strap off, check it out, make sure everything's good. And at that point, I mean, if it's broken, you're kind of dead in the water, you know, until we can get a repaired unit, you know, a refurbished unit to you, or get mm-hmm. it sent in. But the main telltale that kind of comes back to that flash and light is even if you don't see a physical break in that GPS wire, you know, that flashing light is going to tell you if it's working or not.
Okay.
The triple blink sequence is key. You know, that means you've got full satellite acquisition. It's getting good signal. And if it's showing you that and you're still having issues picking it up, I mean, that's something we can work with over the phone most times. That's something where we can get into swapping some IDs around, and it gets off kind of in the weeds, but transmission timing, things of that sort, where we can try to boost the ability to receive that caller.
Okay.
Whereas if it's single blinking, just a slow, steady blink, you know, we're looking at hardware issues. It's got a bad chip or a broken wire or something to that effect that's going to require repair. You know, okay. An update is not going to take care of something like that.
Right.
Like it would just a small glitch.
Well, let me ask you this question. So you've got two antennas on the collar. You've got the longer mm-hmm. whip. And I've seen some people advertise a long-range antenna. What does the other antenna? You've got your GPS collar, which is a black chip that mounts directly to the collar. What's the function of the longer whip antenna?
So that's actually what is receiving the correction signals and the radio frequency.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what it comes down to is, you know, it's not a true GPS, or we would never lose signal. It relies on triangulation. So the chip itself is your GPS module, and mm-hmm. that's sending the mm-hmm. actual signal, where the other is used for communication back and forth with the handheld as far as transmissioning of, you know, locations as well as corrections, caller light commands, things like that.
Yeah. So it's not like...
kind of like your handheld. You know, it's got two antennas. One you think of because you can change it, where the other one is your GPS,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a hardware part of the system.
Yeah. Yeah. So to understand the basics of the Garmin Alpha, you're not uplinking to a satellite in outer space and the signal's not coming down and tracking the dog. Your handheld needs to communicate with your collar, and then it uses that radio communication, your handheld communicate, the GPS antenna on your Alpha, and the GPS antenna on your dog to give you a positioning of all the players in the game. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and honestly, I'm not the most techie guy either, but it's basically it's what how you're describing. Yeah. I mean, there's more to it.
Sure,
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, Buddy could be on here and tell you probably exactly how everything works and the rates in which they work. But yeah, I mean, it's a best case scenario without going with a true GPS.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, my cousin was an engineer. He is an engineer and worked on satellite technology in the Air Force. And I didn't need to know everything he knew as a Marine.
Right.
I just needed to know whether or not the satellite was going to work. You know, it was his it was his job to make sure it worked. I just came in with complaints when it didn't work. So,
right.
Yeah, I need to know. And that's kind of where we are as houndsmen. We don't have to be tech engineers to figure this stuff out. We just have a piece of equipment. We need some basic understanding of what we can do with it on our hands to enhance our performance and enhance our hunting experience while using the equipment. So I get it.
And I think that's a big misconception, you know, to people who are not, they don't understand how exactly the system works is, you know, they hear GPS tracker and they have a hard time understanding why they lose signal on a dog when it crests over a mountaintop or a hill.
Right.
You know,
right.
So to have the opportunity to explain that to them. And once they kind of get it, you know, they can see why it does what it does. That's why, you know, flat plains, yeah, you're going to get better service.
Right.
You know, I drag you out here to go hunting with me, Chris, and we're going to see probably a pretty serious range difference from hunting out there with you.
Sure. Yeah, I was hunting up in Portland for a Freedom Hunters hunt 2 weeks ago, and it's all flat ground up there where mm-hmm. they're at. And, I mean, it's just – it's amazing the kind of – reception you get, and probably the highest density of coon population is you're going to find, it's right up there at the top with anywhere you're going to find in the United States. But it's got its own challenges. I mean, mountains are hard on the legs, and so are boots, you know, that are filled up with mud when you're clogging, you know, chugging across a plowed field. That can be rough.
Oh yeah.
But definitely with our tracking equipment, then there are some advantages to flat ground. No doubt.
Or a vantage point. I mean, and that's what I tell people is anytime you can get above, I mean, we've got guys that send these things up with drones, you know, just to get a quick signal on a dog and bring it back down and see, okay, well, this is where they're at. Let's get over closer to them and try to pick them up.
No way. You know, I've never even heard of that.
It's crazy how much, you know, we as hunters have adapted. I mean, think about the days when we were running telemetry. I mean, and we'd lose a dog for, I mean, I don't want to get too far off in the weeds, but,
yeah,
you know, it was not uncommon to leave a dog out overnight or a couple of days or however long it took them to come back when you couldn't find them. Where now, I mean, we're freaking out. If that GPS is saying the dog's 50 yards off of where it is, I mean, we've became real accustomed to this, you know, pinpointed location. So, I mean, somebody figured out you hook this to a drone, get it up in the air, we can get farther signal with it.
Wow.
And, you know, or helicopter flies. I mean, I've heard of some people going to some great lengths, you know, just to make sure these dogs are safe and get them back. And I think that's a huge plus as far as how technology is involved is, you know, now we're just able to get in and keep our hunting buddies safe for sure.
Right. Right. Let's is there any advantage to putting longer range antennas on a TT-15?
Yeah, I mean I would say so in most cases. It's a trade-off. You know, you start getting longer antennas and dogs start chewing and then it kind of defeats the purpose cuz they gnaw the end off of it, but
yeah.
They definitely do help with connection. There's a lot of antennas on the market. Our tough skins we make out of marine grade stainless steel, so it's going to be a better connection. You know, the hope is to just keep a good connection with your collar. But the trick is, you know, you can't get too far off lengthwise because everything's a frequency bandwidth. Mm-hmm. And general consensus is longer is better. Well, we're not going to go hooking a 4 foot long whip antenna to a 2T15. You know, we've got to make sure that things are staying in the right range. And I think that's the big thing when you're looking at antennas is we've got to make sure we're producing something that's going to effectively work and not just sell on hype.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What about antennas that go on my handheld? Because it comes with, what is that, a standard 4-inch? And then, you know, I actually put a longer antenna on my handheld, and it definitely seems to help. Because I know everybody thinks Indiana's flat, but if they came down here and hunted with me, I could change their mind pretty quick.
Right.
A lot of hills and deep hollows and things like that down here. So I switched up to a longer range antenna on my handheld. Is that worth the money?
I think it's probably the best bang for your buck you can get. I mean, some of these handheld antennas now are really helping increase range and connectivity for, you know, the price tag's really cheap in comparison to what we spend. You know, I mean, $20 and we've got, you know, I'd say in the $20-$25 range, we've got several choices that are going to really boost your reception, really boost your connection, and they're just more durable than the factory. I would say as far as upgrades, it's the easiest and the most bang for your buck you could probably do is a long-range handheld antenna.
Okay, so you're talking about an antenna that hooks up with a coax, so it's like a wand that you hold in your hand, right?
Well, that's an option. I mean, even beyond that, just something that screws directly to it. I'll say our 14-inch Flex, just because I've been hunting them forever. They get great reception. I've closed it in the door God knows how many times getting in and out, and it just keeps on going. You know, the main difference is when you're looking at a factory Garmin antenna, I'm sure you've got listeners out there that have actually cut them open and looked at them, but it's a copper wound antenna around a core. Mm-hmm. So versus, like, let's say an old Wildlife or Johnson or any kind of telemetry collar, you know, is more resembling of what we run on our collars. You know, even on these TT15s, it's same basic construction. And when you get into these handheld antennas, anything you can do to get a more solid connection or, you know, away from that real fine wound copper wire, it's going to help with your signal reception.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking through the shop right now or through the website. I don't know. There's probably 7 or 8 different collar options or, handheld options for antennas.
Oh yeah, we got a pile. I mean, and they range all the way out to your roof mount magnet antennas. Our compact portable long range is, you know, kind of my ace in the hole. I keep one of them in my pack just in case I really need to get out there and reach them. But
that's what I was going to ask
given
you about.
The country.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one you were just kind of talking about, and they're a great antenna. The coax cable sometimes can prove a little bit of a pain for people, depending on what kind of conditions they're hunting. But like I was saying, I keep mine in my pack just so eventually, you know, when I do need it, it's there. But I'm not worried about hanging it up and popping wires and things like that.
Right.
You know, I usually stick with primarily my 14-inch Flex. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the rubber duck's a good one. They're a good durable antenna. For guys who like telescoping, we've got options there. Obviously, they're not quite as durable. You don't want to close them in your door, but
I've had bad experiences.
You know, they do reach out there.
I've had bad experiences with the expandable antennas. Mm-hmm. It started with a Tritronics. I'd borrowed my uncle's Tritronics, and it was an old I mean, it was an old Tritronix. It's probably
a Judge.
I don't know. It's like early 80s, you know. And of course, I had no business with a Tritronix electric stem, you know, an e-collar in my hand at all, training a hound. But I decided that that was going to be the ticket for breaking my dog from running deer. And so I borrowed it. So I've got this antenna all wheeled out there, and I turn around and I bent the antenna. I mean, I bent it pretty good. And so now I'm trying to straighten it because I don't want my uncle thinking, how'd he bend my antenna? And when I try to bend it back, I snapped it off. So
they don't bend well the second time.
I snap it off trying to straighten this thing. So I've got a phobia about expandable antennas. So,
yeah, you're not the only one out there. That's why we've got the other options. They're a lot more durable for those of us who are not super careful.
Yeah. Well, hey, anything else on handheld collars that we can talk about with the Alpha?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we can go down a rabbit hole with them.
No doubt.
It's really tough just because everybody's situation, I mean, we have to look at differently because not everybody's the same. If we listen and somebody says, hey, I got a caller doing XYZ, just because 90% of other callers that have done XYZ was this, it does not mean that that customer is having the exact same problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really key to us to gather the information and listen to what's really going on before we can kind of generalize anything.
Right.
So that does make it a little tough, but really it comes down to keeping things updated. I would say a very high percentage of our customers that call having GPS issues or communication issues that are still getting a good solid triple blink on the collar, which means it's getting good satellite signal. It comes down to updates. Tracking IDs is another big one I've had to deal with a lot recently. If you can go through your dog list, this is one thing I would highly recommend to anybody is write down your IDs. Just have a way to keep that in your bag or as a backup, because these collars are getting so sophisticated at this point. We've got tracking codes, we've got training control codes, and then we get into the actual IDs, which most of us are familiar with because it's kind of the same platform it's been since the 220 on up, you know, mm-hmm. a two-digit number or a three-digit. And it seems like a lot of people lately are running into issues where they've got one caller that's just not picking up, or once they lose it, it takes forever to come back. And what it really boils down to most of the time is your unit ID on the caller.
Hmm.
And we've got to look at that in two different pieces. So I'm going to say, hey, Chris, you know, let's look at one of your IDs. And you pull up your dog information page, and we can take a look. And I'm looking at one of mine right now. We'll say his ID code's 1-9.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to look at that as your first number is your channel. So that's going to be your frequency. And there's a pile of combinations you can have. But, you know, you can run several callers on one channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm running six dogs, they can all have a prefix of 1-.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really starts causing issues is when you get into that second number, that is your timing of transmission. So let's say I've got this dog's a 1-9, and I look at my list and I see I've got a 1-10. That's a real point for a possible issue.
Hmm.
Because we've got to figure this handheld's only going to receive as much information at one, you know, it's going to pick one out at a time. And then it's got to process it, plot it, move on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So this all happens in a millisecond, but when you've got them trying to do that too close together, I mean, it's like when you focus in on a conversation, you and I are talking and somebody's trying to whisper something in your ear, you can't grab it all. So that seems to be something lately, and that's an easily fixed thing a customer can do at home. We can talk them through it over the phone. But I would really encourage people to jot down those tracking codes, training codes, and unit IDs, just so you've got reference.
Well, I think it's obvious that we could go on for hours and hours with every little nuance of the Alpha and the things that people could run into. But I think the main thing that I want to bring out here is the fact that W is willing to help. And, you know, so many times you go on social media and you see somebody posts a question, hey, my Alpha's doing this, does anybody know? And then everybody comes out, and I'm not saying there are some, I learn stuff from houndsmen about Alphas and their capabilities all the time, but W, you can pick up the phone, you guys will deal with this stuff every day and shortcut a lot of that, rather than me sitting around for 3 hours trying to find the magic potion of somebody that responds, that might see my post on Facebook. I can pick up a phone and call W and get the problem resolved pretty quickly.
Well, and that's the goal. I mean, and we rely on our customers too. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times customers and actual people in the woods are what finds the issues. And then, you know, Garmin comes out with these updates to correct them. But I mean, if we really strip it down, it comes down to the guys putting the boots on the dirt.
Right.
You know, and that's our job. I mean, when we get a weird phone call, hey, you know, I updated this and this is happening, you know, that's a real opportunity for us to look into it and see what is going on.
Yeah.
That's where Buddy really takes over, because he's, I mean, probably one of the most techie guys I know as far as the nuts and bolts and how things work. And I'm that guy who still fixes stuff with hammers most of the time, but, it's really a good thing when they can call us and give us information and be descriptive. I mean, I'm going to hammer home on that again, is the more descriptive you can be with the issue that you're having, the easier it is for us to, you know, help diagnose that or look into it further and say, hey, you know, we got a real problem. Mm-hmm. You know, Garmin's had to retract updates due to that. You know, we had one, it's been a while now, but you'd program a update a T5 and an Astro 320, and all of a sudden you'd kick your dogs loose and there was nothing there. And our first phone call on that was guys on the mountaintop on the phone with us, and his dogs are trailing off into the canyon and they're literally nothing on his GPS. And, you know, they had gone back and found the glitches and corrected that. But that's where what I see is our relationship with the customers is so great. You know, it's a two-way street. I mean, we consider ourselves experts, but there's always something even an expert can learn. And it's these little bits and pieces, you know, and piecing things together from our customers that help take it to that next level.
Well, I would say, I would say that everybody can learn from somebody. You know, there's always mm-hmm. something to learn out there, no matter what you're engaged in. Let's move on to, I wanted to ask you about this. So Onyx versus HuntView versus Bird's Eye. That's, you see houndsmen, some people run an Onyx, some on their Garmin, some people are running the HuntView. I personally run the HuntView with the chip. And then you've got some people that run a Bird's Eye. Can you kind of run us through the basics of the differences between the three?
Yeah, I can run you through them. You know, the big question is which one should I get? I mean, that's the number
exactly.
one question.
That's what I'm looking
and it's so, and it's so hard because they are different. There's a lot of similarities, but they are different, and every person's needs are different. So that's when I got to dig in a little deeper with them. You know, and Chance actually is really good with his maps. He's been dealing with them for years. And we did a video to kind of break things down that is on our YouTube channel for people to kind of go back and reference.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you know, the big question is the Bird's Eye. And if you are wanting a Bird's Eye imagery without downloading, it really limits your options. You're going to go with a HuntView Plus. Mm-hmm. That's the only chip right now that has your preloaded bird's eye. Most cases, it's going to cover your entire state. Obviously, some bigger states like Texas, California, they're split in half, east and west, north and south. And you get into some smaller states, they may bundle two. I think there's four together on one. Mm-hmm. But as a general rule of thumb, it's going to have your 24K topo mapping, which is more detailed than what it comes with factory. And it's also going to have the bird's eye satellite imagery for the entire state. And that's something you can toggle back and forth between. You can, you know, turn one off completely. Like there's times I use my topo, and there's other times I use my bird's eye exclusively. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hunt a lot at night, and I think the bird's eye at night is one of the biggest bonuses because I can see what I'm walking into, even though I can't see it.
Right.
And I think that's a big one.
I want to jump in real quick. What is the purpose of going through and, I'll just say it, downloading that bird's eye is a pain in the, it's a pain.
It can be.
Yeah, and especially if you're not a tech type guy. So I thought Garmin really, you know, they really stepped out there and came up with a good idea for the state-by-state, you know, state-specific HuntView Plus. So why would anybody go back and download the bird's eye? Is there some advantage?
I have the same question. I mean, the thing is, when people buy new systems, like let's say somebody buys a brand new Alpha, they're going to get a year subscription to bird's eye. And I can see, you know, utilizing that for sure. Because the misconception is after your 1 year, those maps disappear, which isn't the case. Mm-hmm. You're not able to download more, but if you download anything in that year, it's yours. Mm-hmm. So that's something I would still recommend people take advantage of, like yourself. I mean, you may do a lot of hunting at home, but do you want to go spend $90 on a map card for every state that you hunt? You know, that sometimes can add up. But as far as ease and use, man, I wouldn't have it any other way. I just put a chip in the back and we're done and hunting, you know, instead of having to go through each individual block, you know, you got to pick your resolution settings and it's just a lot. You know, you start storing it on the hard drive and
taking up
space.
It's going
to start bogging things down. Yep. Exactly. Yep. We're back to keeping efficiency. Really, the chip is hands down, in my opinion, the easiest, most effective way to go about it.
Yeah, they come in their own little case. You just stick them in the side pocket on your Garmin bag and write the state on them on the outside with a Sharpie and wherever you're headed. Just swap them out. I mean, it takes 10 seconds. So tell us about Onyx.
So Onyx mapping, the hunt map is also a very good tool to have when it's just a topo map that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, their big claim to fame is the private land ownerships. And that's something, I mean, I'll be honest, I run both. I usually run a Garmin HuntView, you know, especially in, let's say, my drive track. But I run Onyx on my phone. I've got a couple of Onyx chips for different states. But it was prior to, you know, Garmin's release of the HuntView. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing is Onyx was really an industry leader when it came to the private land ownerships, your government land labeling. You know, they've got these, that's a huge tool, especially for houndsmen. I mean, we want to know if those dogs are trespassing because we all know they can't read. And the thing that I really like about the Onyx is it's very prominently displayed who's the landowner. It's a very clear outline. I mean, you being ex-game enforcement, I'm sure you can talk about this now, but there's no way you're going to tell somebody, oh, I didn't know that this is private. I mean, it's right there. And I think that's a big plus for a lot of hunters because we try to keep on the right side of things, you know. But at least it gives you an opportunity now where I can take a look at that Onyx and say, oh, Joe Smith owns this. we can look them up on Google or in the phone book if you still have one, and try to get a hold of them and try to make a successful recovery without a confrontation. And I think that that was a big plus to all of us as houndsmen when they came out with that. And they're constantly, you know, working and trying to enhance the user's experience too.
Yep.
And that, yep. Things have just changed. I mean, the last year has been really crazy between the two, just because, you know, Garmin launched the new HuntView Plus. We've got Onyx. There's a lot of the same information, but it's displayed differently. I mean, it really gets into a tangled web of what's going to be best for somebody.
Right, right. Well, so, but Onyx and HuntView Plus both show state and public lands, private property. My HuntView cards show all the private property lines, and I found it to be pretty effective on that. But Onyx did take the industry by storm. I think they're, I mean, you can download it to your phone. It's, they're, like you said, there's benefits to every part of it for sure.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, because a lot of it is this, I don't want to say the same information, but it really is.
Yeah.
The main deciding factor, and I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 customers that call when they're trying to figure out which map card to get, the question of do you want bird's eye or not really pretty much solidifies it.
As houndsmen, we share very unique needs when we make a decision to relocate, especially when it comes to finding a hound-friendly environment in which to live. RE/MAX Hall of Fame realtor Evan Harrell is a houndsman himself, and he and his team understand your relocation needs as no one else can. With so many things to consider before you move, Evan can help you find just the right location anywhere in the country whenever you decide to go, and will even help with the process of selling your present home.
And Steve, RE/MAX Elite Realty is based in Franklin, North Carolina. Evan Harrell specializes in residential sales and especially in helping people like us to relocate to the locations we choose anywhere in the United States. RE/MAX has been the leader in residential transactions since 1999 and rated the number one brand in real estate. Evan has been named top producer 4 years in a row and Chairman's Club recipient in 2018. Contact Evan online at evanharrell.com or give him a call at 828-371-5103. You and your hounds will be glad you did. After a little bit of technical difficulty there with some phone connectivity, we got Jason back, but we're talking about Onyx versus HuntView versus the Bird's Eye. So, Jason, I think we're running on about an hour and a half anyway. So,
yeah, time flies, huh?
It does. It does. When we get – you and I talk so much on the phone about different things pretty comfortable when two guys, you know, when you're got two people that know each other, conversation flows pretty good. So we can go down every rabbit path we can find.
Yeah, no kidding.
So what's the news on the Houndsman XP t-shirt? I'll just put you on the spot. We've been
throw it out there.
Yeah. We've been touting this thing as the staple item for Houndsman XP. You and I worked together on it with Bill there at W and came up with this t-shirt, and we've been telling people that it's going to be available. When's it going to be available? Let's just nail you down on this.
Well, hopes are that we've got it printing early this week. Our t-shirt printer, the screen printer, has been a little backed up, and we've been trying to work things into schedule, but we're hoping to have them done this week. That's the goal.
Well, this podcast,
I'll be honest, the goal is prior to that, but we were into some issues with scheduling and getting them done.
Right. Well, this podcast is going to air the Monday before Black Friday, and the goal was to have them ready for rollout for that Black Friday flurry of Christmas shopping activity. It's going to be a t-shirt that I think everybody's going to be excited about. I can't wait to say that they're, you know, tell people they're available, because I want to put a picture of it up on our social media pages. But I can't stress to people enough, they need to go to the W site, do some Christmas shopping there. You've got some sales coming up for your Black Friday sales, and throw in a t-shirt. The reason we sell this merchandise is so that we can have a podcast, and we can be the voice for the Houndsman, and we can bring you things about hound nutrition like we did with Arlie Reynolds, bringing this tech support information from W. A lot of these sort of things, these programming things, it keeps the lights on around here so that we can bring you top quality stuff. And even though we're doing this on Skype because Jason's in Oregon and I'm in Indiana, it's always better if we can go on site with people and do live interviews on our recording equipment. And gas is not free. So that's one way that our listeners can support us to keep the show quality high and bringing valuable information. So, Jason, why don't you talk a little bit about the Black Friday sale that's going to come up at W?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a crazy couple days around here. Black Friday is usually just nuts. We do have some good specials coming up. I can't quite let the cat out of the bag on all of them, but, you know, we're going to be looking at discounts across entire categories of product. We're going to have some specific doorbusters that are just, you know, crazy savings on certain things. And, you know, the big thing is with the Black Friday sale, it's going to stretch all week. So I think you said this was going to air Cyber Monday. So you got plenty of time to get in, check out all the deals. We usually try to throw some fun stuff in there and try to do stuff that the true hunters are going to use. I would venture to say, you know, clothing and decals and all of those things, yeah, but we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty of some equipment, too, where you're going to be able to see some savings and grab some equipment to keep you going through the year. Or, you know, grab one for your buddy. We always forget about our hunting buddies at Christmas time.
Yeah, you got to take care of those bromances.
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones that are helping you out when you really need it. So.
Yeah, hunting partners are hard to find.
They
know,
are.
Good ones are hard to find, and I haven't.
They're harder to keep.
They really are. They really are. And that's an interesting topic, and we haven't ever talked
about it. That's a whole nother day.
It really is, but we've never taken the time to talk about the value of good, solid hunting partners, and I'm talking about somebody that is going to be there for you through thick and thin. If you're headed out into some of the wild places we go, you've got to hunt with people that you can depend on. I've had situations where people have been injured and different things. In my line of work, I saw it hundreds of times over 28 years, and having good hunting partners are invaluable. So that's a good point, Jason. We should take care of our hunting partners.
Yeah, all of them, the four-legged ones too.
Yeah. And one of the things I'll just throw in there real quick, and I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry, Jason, but on W's website, there are so many things. There's first aid kits there for your dogs. There's some antibiotics if you've got a fish tank and you need to keep your fish healthy. We know what those are used for, but there's just a lot of real life stuff that should be in our packs or in our kits for our hounds. And it would really benefit people if they would go to the W site and look around.
Yeah, we try to keep a little bit of everything. I mean, our goal is, I talk to so many people that it's such a limited time. It's, hey, man, I'm on the road, or I got dogs out. I need this right now. And it's such a quick thing. I mean, if somebody calls and let's say, Chris, you need a new TT-15, if we don't want to shoot the breeze for an hour and a half, I mean, we can have you done and out the door in less than 3 minutes a lot of times. You know, we've already got a customer account. I can just hammer it out, and we've got something headed your way, and you're back on with your day or back to work or whatever you're doing. You know, and I think that that's that's where we really just try to pride ourselves is getting the stuff out as soon as possible without rushing you. You know, we don't want to rush you at all because we want to make sure that we're getting your needs addressed and things like that. But it's
Just running down the list here real quick. So you open up the app, you go to the website, looking at hound supplies. You got collars, leashes, dog bells. You got cut gear for hog dogs, training scents, training collars, blah, blah, blah. Kennel supplies. I mean, I just switched over there, but you got training or kennel supplies, all kinds of stuff listed there. And then the list goes on and on and on. I mean, there really is it's a one-stop shop. Steve and I say it all the time. It's a one-stop shop for the houndsman. So if you go
that's
in there,
the goal.
Yeah, don't just go there and buy our T-shirt. Take a few minutes and browse around, and I'm sure you can find something that you need.
Yeah, and if you don't see it, give us a call. I mean, there's times that you know, people just search, and they may have the wrong keyword or the search engine isn't working right. We just want to encourage people to not hesitate to call. If there's something you need and you can't find it, you know, we got real people on the other end of the phone. Right. You know, we've got a great team. Chances, you know, great with the tech support as well. I know a lot of people call and ask for me, but, you know, we've got several other people on staff that are well equipped to help people with their issues, taking orders. It's just kind of the place of many hats. You know, everybody wears several hats around this company, and it really kind of just broadens our ability to assist a customer, which is great. You know, in the end, they walk away happy, and that's the end goal is low stress.
Yep.
You know, we're houndsmen too. We know what it's like when it's stressful, and we just don't want that for people.
Well, tell us the dates of the W sale. Christmas sale, Black Friday sale, whatever you guys are calling it. What are you calling it?
What are we calling it, or what are we advertising it as? It's sheer pandemonium for us. It's crazy. I mean, because we've got people packing orders on weekends, you know, giving their time to come in and put in the extra overtime and try to ensure that these packages get out as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're looking, you know, Friday after Thanksgiving through December 6th is going to be the main sale. We've had some pre-sale teasers going on, and I'm sure through the rest of the Christmas season, we're going to have some little teaser sales too. Hey, who knows? So this could morph into a longer sale period. It's just you want to make sure to jump on and check it out as soon as possible because a lot of these doorbusters are going to be real limited. I mean, heck, even by Cyber Monday, some of them may be gone. They go pretty fast.
Hmm.
So I'd encourage everybody to jump on and take a look and try to get their stuff early or it may be gone.
You're going to give me a sneak peek after we're off the air?
Give you a sneak peek?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can do that, man.
I want my pre-order.
You want your pre-order? I'll tell you what, here's a little sneak peek, but I don't think this is going to air in time to help people out. But next year,
it's
a Black Friday sale,
okay,
does not mean that it starts Friday morning. You know,
it's going to be one of those deals.
It may have a little pre-launch, you know, Thanksgiving turkey and check on the W sale. So
are you
serious? Try to get it up a little early.
So you guys are gonna throw out some bones on Thanksgiving and have people at family gatherings sitting around watching the W website.
Well, when you put it that way, I guess, yeah. We all know they're just sitting around talking about dogs to the one person there who wants to talk about them. The rest of the family doesn't care. They all think I'm crazy, you know?
No doubt. I hear you. Well, Jason, it's been a good conversation, and like you said, I think you said it once during the podcast, if you just call up to order something, it takes 3 minutes, but you and I never have a three-minute conversation when we talk, so.
No, I've yet to see that one.
Nope.
And when I'm not homeless, you'll have to come out, and we'll have some long conversations, but you might not want to bunk up with me right now.
how many kids have you got?
I got two.
You got two
kids.
Boys. two boys, and your wife, and you're all living in a camper trailer. Are you going to be in your house by Christmas?
Well, that's the goal, but we're kind of getting the runaround. We'll see. They're actually, we're pretty fortunate. My grandmother's a snowbird, so they left for Arizona for the winter. So my wife and kids are staying at her place. And unfortunately, the life of a houndsman, I can't have them all in town, so I'm doing the float back and forth between our property and in to see the kids and do the dad thing and husband thing. But yeah, it's been an interesting time in life, you know, trying to squeeze hunting in there too. And
right,
we'll make it through, though. It's character building, right? Is that what they call it?
Something like that. Something like
yeah.
that. Well, I hope you get in your house soon. I know that I know from talking to you that family's important to you, and spending time with your family and your boys is a really big deal for you. So hopefully you guys can get the family back together under one roof by Christmas, and Santa Claus can come to the Jason Doobie new home, Ranchero.
Well, we appreciate it, man.
Yep. Yep. Well, Jason, I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, man. I wish we had more of it, but I'm sure people don't want to listen to us for too long. I always enjoy getting on with you. And
yeah, yeah.
We'll have an update on those new Houndsman XP shirts here pretty soon, too. But I'd have people looking out for them and check them out.
I would say by the time this comes out, if they're not out, then I just would be surprised.
Chris and I will spend a lot more time on the phone if they're not out by then. Yeah, they should be out in time for the Black Friday push. And just let people know it's going to be on that Join the Fight page. It's going to be the top right side of the website, dusupply.com. And we'll have the new listing up there and a nice description of the shirt and kind of how it's going to support the Houndsman XP podcast. And we encourage you to just check everything else out. You know, if you need equipment, give us a shot, and we'd be happy to earn your business.
You just reminded me of something. I'm supposed to send you a written description of the T-shirt.
See, I just put you on the spotlight right there.
You did. You did.
That's what I do.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you. You're calling me out on the podcast. So, all right, Jason. Well, I'm going to get off here, and I know you've got a full day. And as always, you follow your hound, and I'll follow mine.